Hello, people of Earth. I hope that wherever and whenever this finds you, that it finds you well. I am your host, Emer, and this is Ever Evolving, the podcast, episode 2. So I'm just going to do a little check-in with you guys. How are you doing? How have the last couple of weeks been for you? The last week or so for me has been pretty intense. I had a lot to do, and I was dealing with feelings of burnout and lack of energy, and my mind was really taking over everything. I do a lot of thinking, and sometimes I think so much that I find it hard to get into my body. And even though logically, I know that moving your body and being with nature is medicine for loud thoughts, sometimes it's hard to get out there and move because of the thoughts. It's a vicious cycle that keeps you on the couch or in bed or whatever, wherever you like to have your meltdowns. It's easier to zone out and be distracted by Netflix, which I did, or God forbid, doom scroll on TikTok, which is absolute poison, and I did that too. I was there until I eventually reached out to a friend and they rang me. And I ended up walking around on the phone outside in the fields, and I cried and I was heard and she made space for me, and I began to connect the dots as to why I was feeling a certain way. And then I ran around the field and I got my heart pumping and I did some shouting and I felt alive again. I live in a pretty remote area, and although I hope no one heard me shouting into the sunset, I felt better afterwards, so I don't really care. So in the mindset that I was in prior to the phone call, I was trying to get a podcast episode together, and it was awful. It felt so forced, and even though I loved the idea of the topic and I loved the topic in general, I just couldn't produce anything that I would have wanted to upload and share. And then, like a bolt of lightning, I was inspired to just talk about what I was going through. Like, oh yeah, just change the topic. So that's what I've done. I felt so much lighter straight away, and everything just began to flow like it did for my first episode. And I guess I'm just telling you all this just to share the process. Sometimes I see people creating things and I get a bit bogged down and I'm like, wow, they're so perfect. I bet they never make mistakes or have to compromise or blah, blah, blah. I can't even finish that sentence because it's pretty ridiculous. But the narrative that goes on in my brain sometimes is pretty ridiculous. And I'm working on progressing despite the self-limiting beliefs. Okay, that was a big long intro. Thank you for listening. And I'm going to get into today's topic now. As you already know from the title, I'm going to be talking about the relationship that one has with oneself. Specifically, my relationship with myself. Please excuse any cars going past in this recording. I don't know what it sounds like, but I know that the situation, the area that I'm in right now, is not ideal for recording a podcast. But you gotta do what you gotta do. So, I mentioned in my previous episode that the relationship you have with yourself is the longest, most precious relationship that you will ever have in your life. It is the one relationship that you are guaranteed to have from your physical birth to death. So at the very least, it's worth learning how to get along with yourself. So for a bit of backstory, as a younger person in my teen years, I was extremely codependent, and there wasn't much time when I was not in a romantic relationship. I didn't spend any time by myself. From probably ages 12-ish to probably like 21-ish. And yes, 21 is not a teenager, but it certainly is not far off it. I struggled with my mental health a lot during this time, and I had a very negative self-image. So much so that I used romantic relationships as a way to accumulate some sort of self-worth. And I didn't know I was doing this at the time. It only became evident to me in my very early 20s. But that's what it was. I was afraid to be alone, and I didn't want to be alone because I didn't like myself. Somebody else liking me made me feel worth something. And yes, I am aware that it sounds sad. It sounds sad when I say it out loud. And whatever, it is what it is. But I think it's a lot more common than people actually realize. And in a society that promotes from such a young age to people marriage and finding a forever partner, it's easy to get lost in that before spending time with yourself and getting to know yourself on a deep level and developing and nurturing that relationship first. I remember when I realized I was super codependent, and I was like, oh no, I was ready to dive into someone else's life again, and emotional issues and trauma, and help them deal with that and help them succeed and be their emotional support person instead of my own. It was a way for me to avoid my own issues and avoid my own life, essentially. And this was done on such a subconscious level that it took me years to figure out what I was doing and why I couldn't stay single. When I realized this, that I was relying on a partner for my happiness and my security, my comfort, my self-worth and my sense of self, I decided that I wanted to get to know myself and nurture the relationship that I had with myself, because even though I wasn't actively taking part in this relationship, it was still there, and it was not great, let me tell you. I felt that it was important to do this at the time because I was kind of spiraling. I had begun looking after my mental health and kind of figuring that side of me out, and it got to a stage where I was kind of just like, why can I not spend time with myself? Why do I think I'm so awful that I will do anything for anyone else? And then I began to resent certain things. Like, when I realized that I was codependent, I was in a relationship, so I was like, I can't be this person for you because I'm not even that person for myself. So instead of just staying in that relationship and being resentful, I had to end that and just go and like take a break from other people forever. No, not forever, but for a while. It was for a while. This was by no means an easy choice, and it was something that I had to choose every day. It's not like you make this decision and it just is done then. Like, you face challenges that you have to deal with on a daily basis. So it's scary when you're used to depending on other people to begin to depend on yourself and to begin to trust yourself and turn all of that love that you gave outwardly in order to be accepted and feel loved yourself, to take all that and turn it inward. I could have stayed in relationships that did not serve me because I was too scared to go out on my own and learn how to love myself, but I think it would have actually sent me to an early grave. I didn't trust myself or believe that I could depend on myself or believe that I was capable of anything, really. And it's not easy to push past all of these feelings and self-doubt and negative self-narrative. But I did. And it's not like you're all alone in the world altogether. I mean, I was just removing myself from romantic relationships. I still had friends and family around me, but it was just, instead of getting lost in someone else's life, I decided that I had to now get lost in my own and get to know myself. So why is this so important? Why is the relationship with yourself so important to look after? Well, it determines how you show up to every other relationship in your life. Friendships, relationship with family members, your teachers, your boss, your employees, your colleagues, pretty much any relationship you can imagine in your life. Having a difficult relationship with yourself that lacks trust, understanding, communication, or respect can result in relationships with others that lack the same things. You may not know what your boundaries are, and they could be getting crossed a lot, and this will leave you feeling walked all over
and you're not exactly sure why. It's only through learning what I'm okay with and what I'm not okay with that I've been able to vocalize these boundaries in relationships. And this includes friendships and family members, all relationships, not just romantic. And I'm still working on this. I'm still figuring out what I'm okay with, what I like, what I don't like, what I will give my energy to and what I can't give my energy to. It's a work in progress, but it's a lot easier now that I'm actually open to the process. I flip-flop between process, and I know probably nobody noticed that, but I did, so I'm just going to say it. I never know what's going to come out of my mouth before I say the word. My relationship with each of my family members has improved so much since I began working on the relationship with myself. All the relationships in my life that I might have neglected unconsciously, whether it was due to me not understanding myself or feeling misunderstood by others or whatever, I was then able to nurture them and look after them only after looking after my relationship with myself first. Opposite to this, I was also able to remove myself from relationships that were not good for me and that took up my energy, was draining my energy, and that just were not, you know, mutual, that I was giving more than I was getting. And it's not about giving to get something back, but if you're constantly giving someone energy and giving them parts of you and you're not getting the same energy back, that will drain you. It has to be mutual for a relationship to be beneficial to both people involved and for it to not be harming one person. Speaking of, having a poor relationship with yourself can leave you really vulnerable to abuse, particularly in romantic relationships, but it can happen in any relationship. If you rely on others to provide you with a sense of self-worth, you can stay in some pretty toxic relationships just to feel loved and just to feel worthy. And you deserve so much better than that. You deserve to love yourself and give yourself all of that validation that you could ever need. This was huge for me to realize, because while I had an unhealthy relationship with myself, I was then getting into some unhealthy relationships. Not all, but pretty much all of them. No tea, no shade, no lemonade, but it's just what you attract when you're in an unhealthy space, okay? I'm not being mean here. But when I realized that I could just give all of that love to myself and that I could be the person that would validate myself and I was responsible for my self-worth and it was all down to me, that was extremely powerful for me to realize. And it gave me a lot of motivation because I really wanted to take care of myself. So I was like, I'm going to do that. And I just fell in love with the process of nurturing my relationship with myself. So imagine a pendulum, and on one side is codependence, and on the other side is absolute independence. Neither are extremely healthy to stay in for too long, but I definitely went the other way, going the complete opposite of codependent, and I was absolutely independent. I was doing a lot of inner work and it was good. It was the time for that, and I was kind of embracing the solitude and enjoying my own company. And eventually it happens that you would get into another romantic relationship. And I did. And then I was like, what the hell is going on here? Because I was having a lot of the same fears and issues and feelings that I was having in past relationships. And I was like, hang on a second here. I just spent an amount of time by myself
did all this stuff, and
where is it now? What is going on? And then it clicked with me that you can do all the inner work in the world, baby, but if you stay in hermit mode and avoid relationships with people, you don't get confronted with any wounds or difficulties that you have in relationships. So you can't deal with them. They can't come up if you're just avoiding them. You can't heal what you need to heal in yourself that is related to another person or the other person, like not one particular person, but just another person in your life. If you stay single forever, you know, that was a fun lesson to learn. But I'm really blessed that the person that I learned this with was extremely patient and easygoing, gave me space to heal and gave me space to learn how to communicate in relationship and how to vocalize my needs and set my boundaries. Because as I said, I was by myself. I was like, oh yeah, I like this. I don't like this. Doing this makes me feel good and doing this makes me feel bad. And I like to talk about this and so on. And then I got into a relationship and I was like, mute. Like, why aren't you getting my thought messages? Why aren't you acting the way I want you to act or the way I want someone to treat me? And then I was like, oh yeah, I actually have to say it out loud. Yeah, it has to be communicated and vocalized. And that's not... I mean, you can practice by yourself, but when you're with another person, and as I said, this is not just romantic relationships, this is every relationship that you have with other people. It has to be communicated. You have to have conversation. And this was scary to me because in the past, I felt that if I vocalized my needs, that I would be met with a negative response. So it just so happened that the person I was now in relationship with was really easy to communicate with and allowed me to communicate in the way I felt comfortable. I did have to turn around at a couple stages where I couldn't look at them while I was communicating because that's how difficult I found it. But they're okay with that, and I am forever grateful because it was the first step in being able to communicate and vocalize my needs. So there is a time for everything. There is a time for solitude. There is a time for company, to be single, to be in romantic relationships. It's all just a part of life. And I believe in divine timing. I just believe everything happens for a reason. So it's easy for me to... Oh my God, that is a forklift. 1 second. Apologies for that technical difficulty of an actual forklift in my vicinity. So now I want to talk about how to develop a good relationship with yourself and how I developed a good relationship with myself. I've always had a very loud inner critic. So I understand that if you're very new to this, it may seem impossible. If you really don't like your own company, it may feel really scary. But you can start really, really small and try to show yourself compassion as you begin to delve into this relationship with yourself. You're essentially building up trust and acceptance and respect for yourself. So if you've ever shown any of those attributes for anybody else, it's just a matter of turning them inward. What can help when you feel like you're going to shut down and bottle things up and just, if it feels too hard, you can just imagine like you're speaking to a friend, because lots of us say things to ourselves that we would never say to one of our friends because they mightn't be very nice and you just know that you wouldn't say that to someone else. So if you practice talking to yourself like you would talk to a friend, that could make things a little bit easier. You can commit to spending small amounts of time with yourself. As I said, start small. You can walk with yourself or journal or read or just do something that you like just for a short amount of time, like 5-10 minutes. And you can promise yourself that you'll do it every week or every 3 days or every 2 days or every day. And just
commit to it. Commit to yourself. And doing something like that, even for a short time, will allow you to begin to build up trust with yourself. And most importantly, you need to be gentle with yourself. There is no room for judgment in healing. And you're going to find yourself judging yourself and being hard on yourself. And all you have to do is notice it. You don't have to combat it or fight it. You can just acknowledge that that's where your thoughts are at the minute. And then you can just see if you can counteract it with something gentle and easy and positive. If you don't like your own company and you're having thoughts that are like attacking your own personality, just try to think you're doing your best. And if you're beginning to dive deep into your relationship with yourself, that is so precious and magic. So remember just to give yourself a break. You have to start somewhere and remind yourself of that. And for God's sake, don't compare yourself with anybody else. I'm talking to myself here as well, because I am so bad for doing this unconsciously in a lot of regards. So just a little reminder, don't do that. I definitely started with inner child work. Just connecting to what I used to like doing as a child. You could watch old kid movies that you liked, run around a field. I really enjoy doing that. I spent a lot of time out in nature when I was a child, so that really connects me back to myself. And if any issues come up, being there for yourself, whatever age self is coming to you, needing to be seen and acknowledged. This next one, I think, was my favorite part when I started to spend time with myself. And that was going on dates with myself and going for food or going for coffee and dressing up to feel nice and to look nice, but just for myself. It's really powerful. And if you don't want to think about it as dating yourself, just think about it as hanging out with a friend, but you are your friend. It's pretty nice. And let me tell you that you do not, people are not looking at you when you're on your own. They're really not. They might see you and have a brief thought, and then they go back into their own lives. So I know that a lot of people deal with social anxiety, myself included, but people are not, they don't care. They don't care that you're out by yourself. They really don't care. And anyone who did would be very odd, and I would not care too much about their judgments in the first place, because that's weird. The next thing is meditation. This really helps in developing a better relationship with your thoughts. It quiets your mind and it puts you in touch with your body. There are numerous meditation videos on YouTube, guided meditation, different frequency videos that you can listen to. But all in all, sitting down and listening to your breath, and when thoughts pop in, just acknowledging them and going back to listening to your breath, like, it's a meditation practice. It is not easy when you just begin. It's not easy, even easy now. I've been practicing meditation for a few years now, and I still find it difficult sometimes, and that's really absolutely okay. I also practice gratitude for every part of me, and this is like something I'm really passionate about, just practicing gratitude in general, but definitely for your relationship with yourself. Like telling your body that you're grateful for it because it works and it's functioning away. And even if you are a person that doesn't like your body and you compare it to others, on a biological level, if it's functioning correctly, that is something huge to be grateful for. It's just these little things that you can really take for granted about yourself that are are huge and you would absolutely miss them if they went away. I find that very comforting to practice gratitude, and I feel that it brings me closer to myself as well. Not just for my physical body, for, you know, for getting up in the morning and getting through everything that I've been through so far in life, and for being open to new experiences and being open to experience life. There's lots of things. If you sit down with yourself and just think of the most basic things in your life that you could take for granted and put it into a sentence that you are grateful for it, your mood is going to change. I promise you that. I know I said a lot there, but I just want to remind you that this is not something you have to do all at once. You can take, and you should take, I'm encouraging you to take really small and gentle steps. Healing is not linear. Some days you are going to feel invincible and raring to go with all of the healing and it will be great. And then other days you're going to want to distract and not pay attention. And that's okay. That is all a part of it as well. You have your whole life to be in this relationship and to nurture this relationship and develop it and to get to know yourself. So take your time. I was actually kind of shook when I realized this week that I had kind of forgotten to nurture my relationship with myself. I was pretty much ignoring my needs and I hadn't done anything nice for myself in a while, and it really took its toll. Life got in the way and the universe had to gently nudge me into remembrance. And when I say gentle nudge, it felt like my life was spiraling out of control. But that's pretty gentle for the universe, I think. Feelings of energetic exhaustion, overwhelm, and stress were just kind of taken over, and I felt really lonely and I wasn't able to sit with myself. I was feeling the need for someone, anyone else, to come and kind of rescue me. And I wanted to just numb out all of the tough feelings and get lost in someone else's life like I would have done when I was younger, when I was a teenager. I didn't know this at the time, but upon reflecting on the phone with my friend and afterwards, it just helped me realize this. My inner teenager needed to be seen and acknowledged and held. And I now had the opportunity to be the person to soothe all of those feelings, to witness them and to witness myself and be the adult that could look after me the way I needed. And in this way, I've been able to deepen the relationship with myself. It gave me an opportunity to, I could have either ignored it and did what I always did in the past, or just be there for myself, and trying to avoid any of what was coming up would have just led to it coming up another day, and it just wouldn't solve anything. My teenage self needs lots of love, care, and attention right now. By the time I was a teenager, I was deliberately not looking after myself. Like, doing inner child work feels different because I didn't not like myself as a child. I just may not have gotten everything I needed through no one's fault. But teenage me was different. Teenage me did not like myself at all. Feeling worthless and self-loathing is pretty heavy stuff to deal with, but it's something that I can acknowledge now and show love and understanding to, without needing someone else to inject self-worth into me. I think that's all that I have to say on this matter. Yeah, I would love to hear your experience with your relationship with yourself, and whether it's something that you tend to, or maybe you began tending to it later in life. Please know that everybody has parts of themselves that they are not proud of, and nobody is perfect. The main thing that I would want in a relationship with somebody else is clear communication, acceptance, respect, love, compassion,
and trust. And that's what I would like for myself. And that's what I would like for you to show yourself, if you don't already. Honor your own needs, set boundaries, and have self-compassion. Engage in self-care activities, whether that's relaxing and replenishing yourself, or acts of saving your own energy. If you don't have energy to listen and respond to that voice note, maybe just communicate that and do it when you feel ready. Get to know what your limits are and what you are spending your energy on and what you would like to spend your energy on. So yeah, that's it. I hope that you have enjoyed this. I was going to say conversation, but it's not really a conversation. So I hope you have enjoyed this time with me, and that you will engage in your relationship with yourself. And please let me know how that goes. I would love to hear what the crack is with everybody else, because I know the crack with myself. I just want to hear your thoughts. Okay, so thank you so much for listening. If you're still here, that's amazing. Thank you. Stay hydrated, love yourself, and be gentle and patient with yourself. Thank you for listening. I'll see you next time. Bye.